Turn to the book of Romans. There is junior church if you want to send your child that way. Otherwise, working our way through the book of Romans, I think this is, sermon number 3 or 4. Be looking at chapter 1, verses 16 and 17 this morning. Not clicking there, so you'll have to click it one time, Clarence, probably. As he's getting that set up, let me try it. There it goes. All right. Looking at a message I titled Confidence in the Gospel. But just as a means of introduction, I want you to imagine for a moment that there's this deadly disease that's sweeping through the country, right through the nation, and thousands of people are dying. Fear fills every home, and then there's this scientist who works day and night, and his name is Marvin Hart. And Marvin works, that's Marvin, by the way, and he is a scientist. But he works day and night trying to find a cure for this horrible disease. Now, Marvin works and he works and finally he formulates this cure. Now, what do you think Marvin's going to do? You think Marvin will take that cure and he waits till it's dark out and he grabs that thing and he hides it under his lab coat? Goes out and he jumps into his vehicle. It's a Ford, right? He jumps into that and he gets home and he hides it in the cellar way back where nobody can see it. Do you think Marvin would do that? And if you thought about that, and would Marvin do that while thousands upon thousands of people die? Marvin wouldn't do that. He wouldn't take that formula and do that. He would share it with his friends. He would share it with his family. He would share it with his neighbors. He would share it with the world. In fact, Marvin, I think, would eagerly do that because this discovery has the power to save lives. You know, to keep it to himself would be unwise, it would be negligent, it would be unloving, it would even be cruel, wouldn't it? If he had that cure for that disease but refused to share it with anyone. You know, last week we looked at, in verses 8 through 15, we looked at Paul's prayer. We saw the praise, which is to God through Christ. And then we saw the petitions and the petitioner's heart. Really, through that message, you see Paul had a heart of obedience. He had a humble heart. He had an eager heart. And in verse 15, so as much as in me is, he says, I am ready or eager to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome. Why was he so eager? Why was he chomping at the bit to give the gospel to those who are in Rome, to people he had never seen before? And so this morning I want to look at confidence in the gospel. We can be confident in the gospel message, and we should be eager to share that message. Romans chapter 1, after Paul says, I am ready to preach the gospel to those who are in Rome. I am eager to preach the gospel. He says, for or because. Why is he eager? He says, because I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity that we have to open your word, that we have this translation in our own language. We have the freedom to gather here together as a body to study your word, to read your word, to sing praises to you. So we thank you for that freedom. I pray that we wouldn't neglect that, that we would take advantage of this opportunity we have, that we would be attentive to the preaching and teaching of your word, and that we would leave here changed by your word. Perhaps there's some here that have not experienced the power of the gospel. Maybe they don't know the gospel. And for that person, Lord, I pray for salvation. For those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ, who have experienced the power of the gospel, have been changed by the gospel, that we would leave here confident and eager to share it. So, Lord, we thank you for this time. I just pray for wisdom and recall from study, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we look at this, Paul said, I'm eager. Why was he eager? He understood what was at stake. What happens to those who have not put their faith in Jesus Christ? We're destined Those people are destined for an eternity apart from Him. And it has eternal ramifications when you reject the gospel. So Paul had confidence in the gospel. Paul was confident in the gospel, and I'm going to give you four reasons why. The first one here is the gospel is a display of God's power. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. It's a display of God's power. The gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ, is the power of God on display. Now this word power, the Greek word dunamis, we get our word dynamite from it. It's powerful. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God. Now, this year is America's 250th birthday. In a few weeks, I'm sure there's going to be some magnificent fireworks displays. Fireworks are going to get blasted off into the sky. And, you know, in the past, I've had opportunity to work with this company in Wisconsin called Spectrum Pyrotechnics. Where's Scott Algren? You've had an opportunity to work with this guy as well. His name's Richard. Richard's kind of crazy. He's missing some fingers. But Richard would come and he would put on this fireworks display at Northland, and he would do their freedom celebration. And for about 3 years, I don't know if it was a privilege, but I had opportunity to work with Richard. And so I would go and we set out a raft out on, they called it Camp Lake, but it was really a pond, but we'd set this raft out and had cakes, big cakes of fireworks stacked up. I ran a cable out, I wired it to a system of switches and a battery, and then they had racks and racks of 3-inch guns that were triple bubbled, so 3 3-inch shells in each gun. And that was our grand finale, but we had 4-inch guns and 5-inch guns, some double bubbled, and you'd hand light those. And so I'd wear a motorcycle helmet with a shield, and I'm like this, lighting that 5-inch shell, and the pressure, boom, and you just felt it. And every time I lit one, I was thinking, this is stupid. But I kept doing it. I'd light one, boom, and that the blast. I think, this is dumb, and I'd light another one and another one. And it's an amazing display of power. And you stop and think about that display of power. And you're lighting those things off, and the different colors and the big booms, and they fizzle out and they're gone, and maybe a little bit of smoke there. They move some air, they make bright lights. You hear these oohs and ahs. And then people go home, and they're left unchanged. There's a lot of power in that. And you feel that pressure when you're right there lighting it. And you can even feel it when those 5-inch shells go off and you're 1,000 feet away. The crowd sees that display, they go home, they're unchanged. Well, the gospel is God's power on display. But it's more than just a display. You see, the gospel is different than the fireworks. The fireworks go off, people see it, the power, they leave unchanged. But see, the gospel is deliverance by God's power. The gospel is a display of God's power. You stop and think about the gospel, the good news. You have a holy God, you have sinful man, he sends his son to die on a cross to pay the penalty for our sin. Jesus Christ dies on that cross, he's buried, and he conquers death. That's powerful. That's powerful. But it's God, the gospel is deliverance by God's power. It's not just simply a display of power, but it's effective operation of God's power. It says, unto salvation. For it is the power of God to salvation. It accomplishes something. Those fireworks go off, it moves air, there's some bright lights, doesn't accomplish a thing. Now you take that dynamite, that power, and you go into a mine shaft and you stick dynamite in there and you blast rock away and you make passages and you extract precious metal, it's accomplishing something. The gospel isn't just a display of God's power, it's deliverance by God's power. In his commentary on Romans, Mount says this. He says, the salvation Paul spoke of is more than forgiveness of sin. It includes the full scope of deliverance from the results of Adam's sin. It involves justification, being made right with God. It involves sanctification, growth in holiness, and glorification, the ultimate transformation into the likeness of Christ. That's powerful. That accomplishes something. See, when Christ died on that cross, he paid the penalty for my sin. And then years later, centuries later, millennia later, Steve Berg puts his faith in Christ. What happens? I move from death to life. That's amazing. See, you and I can be confident in the gospel because it's a display of God's power, but it's also deliverance by God's power. You know, fireworks go off in the air, nothing changes. The dynamite goes off in the tunnel, passage is made, metals are extracted. But the gospel is the power of God and something's being accomplished. What's being accomplished? Lives are being changed. Eternal destinies are being changed. Before Christ, what were you? You were dead in your trespasses and sins, according to Scripture. You were a child of wrath. You were alienated from God. What happened when you put your faith in Christ? Through faith in the finished work of Christ, you're no longer dead in your trespasses and sins. Ephesians tells us we were made alive. You're no longer alienated from God. You're a child of God. You're no longer under the wrath of God. You're joint heirs with Christ. See, I was made alive. I was forgiven. I have a future and a hope. Is that powerful? You can't do it on your own. The gospel has an eternal purpose. How powerful is the gospel? D.L. Moody said this. He said, the gospel is like a lion. All the preacher has to do is open the door and get out of the way. That's the power of the gospel. A church can't save you. Putting money in the offering plate can't save you. Getting baptized can't save you. Your good works can't save you. It's only through Jesus Christ. And we can be confident in the gospel. And so man has a choice. Deliverance is available. How is it? How is it available to us? How can we have this deliverance? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for who? For everyone who believes. Through everyone who puts their faith in Jesus Christ. We can be confident and we should be eager to share the gospel because it's a display of God's power. It's deliverance by God's power. And I think if we took time this morning, we could go around and hear testimony of changed lives. Some here used to be drunks, addicts. And God transformed lives. We could hear testimonies of transformed lives. Paul, who wrote this, his life was transformed on the road to Damascus. He knew this transformation. His life was changed when he put his faith in Christ. And at that very moment, he had an eternal destiny with God the Father. And so the gospel is a display of God's power. It's deliverance by God's power. And the gospel is a declaration of God's righteousness. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, also for the Greek. And then he says, for in it, I'm ready to go, I'm ready to preach, verse 15, for in it, because in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. It's a declaration of God's righteousness. Now, what does that mean? What is the righteousness of God? Well, what does that mean? Well, the word righteous means behavior that's morally justifiable or right. That's what that means. This behavior is a standard of morality, justice, virtue, and uprightness. So righteousness then is perfection in every attribute, every attitude, every behavior, and every word. Now, how many here are righteous? Perfect in every attribute, attitude, behavior, and word. Anybody? Nobody wants to claim that? Good, because later on in this book, Paul says, there's none righteous, no, not one. Nobody's perfect in attitude, attribute, word, or action. There's none righteous. Nobody's perfect in morality, justice, virtue. Nobody's perfect in uprightness. Nobody, that is, except God. And his son, Jesus Christ, who came and lived a sinless life. So the righteousness which belongs to God, it's God's standard of holiness. Has God ever sinned? What's the answer to that? No, he hasn't. So the Bible's clear that God is holy, holy, holy. In 1 John 1:5, it says that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. The psalmist writes in Psalm 119:137, he says, "Righteous are you, O Lord, and upright are your judgments." And so the gospel is a declaration of God's righteousness, his perfection, his holiness, absolute perfection in attitude, character, everything. It's a message where we see God's wrath on man. Why is God's wrath poured out? Because God's perfect and man is sinful. All men have sinned. All men miss the mark. All fall short of God's glory. So God's righteousness is really closely intertwined with his justice, which means he must punish sin. God is holy or completely holy. He's perfectly righteous. He's perfectly just. Therefore, he must punish sin. And so in the gospel, God's righteousness is revealed. It's a declaration of God's righteousness. It's on display. That's why Jesus Christ had to come to this earth and take on flesh. Because of our sin. Because we could never meet the holy standard of God. And so the gospel is a declaration of God's righteousness, and it's also a dispensing of God's righteousness. For in it, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just, those who have been declared right, shall live by what? By faith. And so, Romans 3, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that are declared just. And yet here we see, the just shall live by faith. How can I be right in God's eyes? How can I have this righteousness of God? Well, God, the gospel is a dispensing of God's righteousness. The gospel is more than a display of power. It's deliverance by God's power. It's more than a declaration of God's righteousness. It's a dispensing of God's righteousness. The righteousness of God is revealed how? From faith to faith. You go back and look at it, the power of God to salvation for who? For everyone who believes. How do I get this righteousness that's from God? It's by faith. It's not by my works. You know, Jesus takes a person's sin. When we respond in faith, when I put my trust in Christ, Jesus took my sin and gave me his righteousness. Paul says in Romans 7:24, in the first part of 25, he says this, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" And the next phrase he says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ the Lord." Who's going to deliver me from this body of death? It's Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he said this, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." And so the righteousness of God is dispensed in this gospel message. To who? Who's it given to? All who respond in faith. And for the rest of you that didn't answer, it's time to wake up. I'm not trying to put anybody to sleep. But you know, we sang that song, "His Robes for Mine." Did you hear the words to that song? Let me read them. Listen to these words. "His robes for mine, O wonderful exchange, clothed in my sin, Christ suffered beneath God's rage. Draped in his righteousness, I'm justified. In Christ I live, for in my place he died. He died a death that I deserved. His robes for mine, what cause have I for dread? God's daunting law, Christ mastered in my stead. Faultless I stand, with righteous works, not mine, saved by my Lord's vicarious death and life." That verse is saying, I can't save myself. It's not my righteousness that saves me, but his. His robes for mine, God's justice is appeased. Jesus is crushed, and thus the Father's pleased. Christ drank God's wrath on sin, then cried, "'Tis done. Sin's wage is paid, propitiation won. God's wrath is satisfied. He's a just God, a holy God. Sin had to be punished, and Jesus took that penalty. It satisfied God's wrath. His robes for mine, such anguish none can know. Christ, God's beloved, condemned as though his foe. He, as though I, accursed and left alone. I, as though he, embraced and welcomed home. What a great exchange that is, isn't it? He's punished. He takes the hit for me, and I'm embraced and welcomed home. What's the songwriter's response to that power? The power of the gospel. What's the songwriter's response? Writes this, I cling to Christ and marvel at the cost. Jesus forsaken, God estranged from God, bought by such love, my life is not my own. My praise, my all, shall be for Christ alone. Those are rich words. That song is filled with the gospel message. And it's a rightful response. What should my response be to such a wonderful, powerful message? My life isn't my own. My praise, my all, shall be for Christ alone. The so what here, the application. Paul was confident and eager to share the gospel. Why? Because he understood the power of the gospel. How powerful is the gospel? Is it powerful? Can anybody attest to that? Is it powerful? Apart from Jesus Christ, every one of us would be heading for a literal place called hell. That's what we deserve. Les Ole at Northland used to say, every day I don't wake up in hell, it's better than I deserve. We all deserve separation from God for an eternity, but God, in His great love, sent His Son to die on our behalf. What good news is that? To move from spiritual death, separation from God for an eternity, to spiritual life, eternity with Him. Forgiveness of sin. I don't deserve that. The power of the gospel. Paul says, I am eager, I'm chomping at the bit to share the gospel. Because I know the power behind it. It transforms lives. Forgiveness of sin, redemption, sanctification, justification, glorification. You know, the gospel not only displays God's power, but it delivers by God's power. If you are here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're dead in your trespasses and sins. If you haven't put your faith in Him and you died today, you'd spend an eternity apart from Him. Does that concern you? It should. Eternity is a long time. The gospel delivers. There's none righteous, no, not one. We've all sinned, fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but you don't have to go to hell. That's good news. You can be delivered from the penalty of your sin. The gospel displays and also delivers. To whom? To all who believe. It's through faith in Christ. John 1:12 says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. The Philippian jailer said to Paul, what must I do to be saved? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Salvation had a great cost. Christ went to the cross, but it's a simple message. He paid the price. Salvation's a gift. What do you have to do with the gift? You have to what? Receive it. That's right. You have to receive it. The gospel not only declares God's righteousness, but it dispenses God's righteousness. You don't have enough righteousness or the right kind. You can't earn your way to heaven. If you walked into Walmart, had a grocery cart full of stuff, went up, and she tallies it up and says, okay, your bill is $483 and you paid in Russian rubles, what would they say? Not here. It doesn't work. It's not enough or the right kind. And that's the way it is trying to earn your salvation. You don't have enough righteousness or the right kind of righteousness. The gospel declares God's righteousness, but it also dispenses His righteousness. To who? Or how? From faith to faith. So here's the question. Have you received the gospel, the good news, that Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures, and He is buried and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures? Have you put your faith in Christ? It's a historical fact that Jesus Christ died on a cross for you and for me. He paid a debt he didn't know, because we have a debt that we can't pay. Again, John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You know, the book of Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. A few verses later, chapter 10, verse 13, or a few chapters later, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ? If not, that's what you need to do. If you put your faith in Christ, here's the next question. If so, are you eager to share it? Are you ready to share the gospel? Are you eager, chomping at the bit, to share the gospel with other people? Paul says, I am ready, I am eager to share the gospel. I can't wait to get to Rome. Why not? Because it's the power of God to salvation to all who believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it's written, the just shall live by faith. I can't wait to get there and share this message. Are you eager to share the gospel? You should be. That's the greatest message that has ever been given. Go back to our illustration. What would we think of Marvin if Marvin took that cure and went home and hid it? What would you think of Marvin? Come on, tell him, he's sitting right there. What do you think of Marvin? Marvin took that cure, went home, stuck it in the cellar, never shared it with anybody. Yeah, shame on you, Marvin. That's cruel and unloving and unkind. And you know, that's just an illustration, but we would think that. Who would do that? And a cure that changes lives. How much more powerful is the gospel of Jesus Christ? How much more powerful is it, friends? Is it? It's not just curing someone for a little bit and they die anyhow. The gospel changes eternal destinations. And if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you know the truth, you know the answer. You know it's powerful. It's the power of God to salvation. In it the righteousness of God is revealed. The just shall live by faith. Are you ashamed of the gospel? Or are you eager and ready to share it? We should be. If not, it's like that scientist hiding it in a lab coat and heading home and hiding it. It's worse than that. And it's a simple message. It's a simple message. By grace through faith in what Jesus Christ accomplished. I'm a sinner. I deserve hell. I can't buy heaven, earn it, work my way there. But Jesus Christ came to this earth, lived a sinless life, went to the cross, paid the penalty for my sin. And when I put my faith in him, he gave me his righteousness and took my sin. That is good news. And I should not be ashamed of that, and I should be eager and ready to share it. And you can do that anywhere. 2 weeks ago, I was going to go over and play golf real quick. And I was in a hurry. I wanted to just play a couple holes. I had a mental block here. Could not. Seemed like I was spinning my wheels trying to study. Good excuse, right? But it was true. I really was. Well, there's a guy holding me up in front of me, and there's people pushing me, and he's being held up. And so I just went up. I said, hey, can I golf with you? He said, sure. So I started golfing with him, shared the gospel with him. Simple message. We exchanged numbers. He actually came last week. But it's simple, and it's easy, and it's powerful. And it's the most important message you'll ever share with anybody. So don't be like that, the way I portrayed Marvin. Be like the real Marvin, who would share that with others. It's a powerful message, isn't it? It's good news. Are you eager and ready to share it? I hope so. Walk out these doors today changed by the Word of God, because the gospel's powerful. If you're on your way to hell, you don't have to be. You can put your faith in Christ. And if you have, Go out and tell somebody else. Be chomping at the bit to give the gospel. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. These two verses we've looked at, I thank you for Paul's testimony, Paul's eagerness to give the gospel because he understood the power. Lord, may we be reminded today of how powerful the gospel is, and may we leave here eager to give the gospel because it is your power that delivers us forgiveness of sin, eternity with you, and your righteousness so that we can have life, eternal life. For your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.